Next on BYUSN, what is the most impressive thing that Kevin Young accomplished in year one as BYU's head coach? And what are our expectations for year two? BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake breaks down where his team improved the most this spring and how BYU is staying humble and hungry after 11 wins a year ago.
These guys won a lot of games. The big three, Austin Colley, Max Hall, and Dennis Pitta, give us an update on what life is like on that cruise that they're on. Let's look back on their big plays at BYU, and there were a lot of them. And we're just over a week out from the NFL draft. How many Cougars do we expect to have their name called this year? Every year, somebody gets called.
Every year. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Wednesday, April 16th. My name is Jason Shepherd. That is Dave McCann. And Dave, you're about to class up the joint a little bit.
It felt like we should set a different tone today.
Okay.
So we begin with a quote from the great Jacques Cousteau. Quote, "The sea, the great unifier, is man's only hope." Now, as never before, the old phrase has a literal meaning. We're all in the same boat, close quote. Figuratively, yes. Literally, no, because you and I are here, and Spencer and Jerem are on the boat, on the high seas, navigating their way, cruising with the Cougs. Guys, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. I'm just glad the captain knows where we are, because I have no idea.
There's no land anywhere.
Somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, on our way back to Los Angeles after a successful stop in Puerto Vallarta. And to say the least, a memorable stop and then family feud, celebrity feud situation last night, Jerem.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. There were two different sessions and four different teams. Hilarity ensued. Greg and Mark hosted those. They were amazing. There was a situation where the category was BYU quarterbacks, and it came to one Max Hall, who did not say his own name, and his team lost because he didn't say his own name. But he said, "If I got X, Dennis and Austin would never let me hear the end of that."
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had a situation in the second one where it was the money round, you know, five questions, quick. Jason Buck couldn't hear the question, and he was asked, "What's an athletic venue at BYU?" And he said, "Football."
Yeah. We all love the famous venue, football.
Yes. So BYU will play football at football.
Jason also picked shrimp as his number one food for a Super Bowl party, which he will never live down, you guys.
Puerto Vallarta was unbelievable. I talked to one tour guide locally that said, "What's up with all the blue?" And he said, "Wait, BYU, Mormons, Utah." So that was fun. Went parasailing yesterday. I'd never done that. $50, no waiver, life on the line. So fun. So fun. It was unbelievable. I'd never done that before. It was incredible. Food was great. And the excursions are over. Now we're here on the boat hanging out, which is a lot of fun, too.
We're glad Jerem's alive, say the least. You survived parasailing. And we think, you guys, we will be back in Los Angeles on Friday morning. We hope. We're putting a lot of trust in Captain James.
Captain James has given us all the nautical miles, and I don't know what that means. Yeah, we're here, and very windy.
Yeah, it's a stiff breeze today.
Yeah.
My spidey senses tell me it's 17.1 knots. Jim.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Garlic knots? I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, guys, take it away. We'll be back with interviews from Kalani Sitake, and as you already mentioned, we gave the mics to Max, Austin, and Dennis.
We weren't in that one. We don't know what they said. We don't know if that had to be edited for BYU TV or not.
We look forward to that. Guys, thank you. I believe I saw a jogger run past them. That's a pretty big ship.
That is a big ship.
It's right here. It's a
running track. We're in the way of those people.
Who exercise on a cruise? All right. I'm just laying around.
Go get some ice cream. We'll talk to you guys in
a few minutes.
You got it.
You ever parasailed, by the way?
No, my wife has. I watched that, and I thought that was cool.
Okay, I'm not what you would call a thrill seeker. I've always wanted to do the parasailing, so I'm a little jealous right now of Jerem being able to do that.
Did he look pretty cool?
It did look pretty cool.
Quite the launch.
You know what else is pretty cool? What's Trending. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
I think the staff is like, who should we go get to make this team a national contender?
What Kevin Young and his staff set out to do in year one worked.
All that matters, Kevin Young is the secret sauce.
They're going out and choosing guys. It's bigger than anything we've seen.
These things not only can happen at BYU, they are happening at BYU. What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. 1 year ago today, the joy that started 1 year ago today. Little did we know what we'd be in for. Kevin Young was hired as the BYU basketball head coach. Here are some of the notable accomplishments from year one. We're going to start, number one, with number one.
Yeah, and think about it. When he was announced a year ago today, most of Cougar Nation, Kevin Young, what?
Like
Who's
who?
That?
Yeah.
We had somebody in the NBA. Those were the two reactions. And now over the last 12 months, look what he's done. And we'll start with number one, as you mentioned, Shep. A.J. DiBonta, the nation's number one recruit, coming to BYU. There have been a whole lot of things over the last 12 months. This one has a lot to do with the next 12 months, but he got it done like no one ever has at BYU, especially in basketball. DiBonta sets the bar at a place where we just haven't seen it before.
Yeah, to be able to get the number one high school player in the country and then all of the hype that comes up with it. And it's not just the hype from BYU. It's the hype from AJ about BYU.
Yeah, yeah.
He is the biggest proponent of BYU athletics wherever he goes. That is so much fun. As much fun as it is to think about what he's going to bring, it is as much fun to know how excited he is to be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's invigorating.
Absolutely.
And other guys want to come, as we're seeing.
Yes, yeah.
Want to come play with him. Now, another guy, Xavien Staton, who Kevin Young landed in his first year. Before AJ, this was the highest-rated recruit in the history of BYU basketball. The 7-footer out of Nevada, ranked number 33 in the top 100 for ESPN. So all of a sudden, 33 was like, well, that's pretty good. But we went to one. But those two are different. And to Kevin Young's credit, in this year of amazing things, he got both of them.
Absolutely. And while we're talking about new players that are coming into the program, how about a year ago, there was a lot of questions about people that were on the roster 2 years ago, would they be coming back? And what the coaching staff was able to do to retain and then continue to develop guys like Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall, who obviously had a choice to make a year ago. Now he's decided to move on to Virginia. But his ability to keep a player like Richie Saunders in the program and then help him reach the levels that he did this year, unbelievable.
Look at the numbers from last year to this year for Richie. Retaining Richie might be the biggest thing that Kevin Young's done, because without him, there's no Sweet 16, there's no top 20 finish, there's no third place in the Big 12. There's no a whole lot of what we just experienced because number 15 came back. So right out of the gate, and you know what? When Saunders said, yeah, I'm coming back, everyone thought, well, that's a legit solid player. No one thought he was going to be a superstar. I mean, he elevated his game like beyond everyone's expectation into first team Big 12.
Yeah. Well, and he was one of the best scorers in the game today. And I think that's why it has every BYU fan salivating with the prospect of him coming back. And we, again, don't have any official word one way or the other, but we assume he's coming back. And the steps that he could take another year in this system, can you imagine?
Think about it, a second retention of Richie Saunders. Richie could be right up there with AJ.
Yeah.
And so you got AJ, and now everyone expects Richie to come back. We'll see. And we certainly expect him back. But keeping Saunders was huge for Kevin Young, because while all that was going on, he brings in Yegor Demon, who comes in projected as a lottery pick. He goes out after his freshman year, still projected as a lottery pick, maybe not five or six, but in that group. And we saw Yegor's development with this NBA staff around him for a freshman who came as an 18-year-old and finished as an older 19-year-old, right? But we saw a lot of Yegor develop, and he kept his promise.
Yeah.
We'll prepare you for the NBA. Other kids want to go, what have you done? Well, that guy went to the lottery, and this other guy's going to go to the lottery, and yeah, I want to be a part of that. So Yegor was huge.
Well, and to reiterate your point, it was one of the things that Coach Young mentioned about wanting to make BYU a place where guys can come and develop themselves and go to the next level. And Yegor was the first person to prove that he was right and that BYU is a place that you can come. And now we're seeing the fruits of that with other guys coming in, whether it be a player like AJ, or now with Rob Wright transferring in, who has NBA potential as well. So it's being able to come out and say this is what we want to do and then be able to prove it year one takes it to another level.
So those are three key individuals in the first year of Kevin Young. Now let's look at the body of work. He went out and won 26 games, which I believe is the most for a first-year coach at BYU. Got to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2011. Picked ninth, finished third in the Big 12. Beat Iowa State twice in the same 7 to 8 day period at the end of the season when the Cyclones were ranked in the top 10 and then number 12. The body of work for this first-year head coach is off the charts.
Well, and it started out slow in Big 12 play. And I think there was still, even at that part of the season, even though you'd played your non-conference, there was still a feeling out period to find out what was going to work. And then the move that really seemed to trigger it all was putting Mewit Magg in the starting lineup. Right. And from that point on, this team just took off because it felt like after that move was made, everybody fit into where they needed to be for the team to be successful. And you mentioned it, the 26 wins, going to the Sweet 16, number 13 national ranking. A lot of people talking about BYU, certainly as a top 10. We're going to talk about one today that gets him pretty darn close to being a top 5 team.
Right. And he did it with 11 guys.
Yeah.
Had 11-man rotation when Catchings was healthy. And so he found a way to keep 11 people relatively happy and keep the program winning with so many different combinations out on the floor. You know what that is? That's a reflection of the coach figuring out and holding it all together because someone has to be in charge.
Right.
If you're going to play 11 guys, that's a lot of shuffling, and he managed that in the first year.
Well, and what about the ability to take a BYU basketball program and take its profile to the next level? How many times throughout the year nationally was BYU being talked about? And it was because of certainly the type of team that they had and the fact that they were winning games, but it was bringing in an NBA coach and what he was doing. And you had a lottery pick, and then you got the number one overall recruit in the country out of high school. So he took this BYU program and took the attention on it to the next level.
I liked, as he did all that, he maintained this same level of normalcy.
Right.
He's the same. He's the same at practice. He's the same in our interviews. He's the same on the court. Players love that. Fans love that. You trust that. It's not a Jekyll and Hyde type guy. This is who Kevin Young is. And wins and losses, we interviewed him after both.
Right.
The same. The same guy. And the same guy who's done all this. I think it's fantastic. And he gets this Rob Wright in from Baylor. That's going to take it another place. Right? You
yeah,
had a point guard that's different from your last point guard, but this one's got an engine that that is going to drive this offense, and it's going to drive it to the rim. And then you got rim guys around, and Kaba and AJ and Richie out for threes, and a couple of the other guys they're bringing in. Dawson Baker out for threes. This guy is the key right here.
Well, all right, so we went over all of the major accomplishments that Kevin Young and his coaching staff have accomplished within the first year. Today, it's the one-year anniversary of the hiring of Kevin Young. So of all the accomplishments that we discussed, which do you think is the most impressive in year one?
Well, this guy that we're watching here is going to kind of reveal himself in year two, but he's going to be fantastic. You know, you say AJ because it's never happened before, and I think that's huge. But I go back to Saunders. Without Richie coming back this year doesn't happen. But then I'm going to go a third thing. And I asked for one, I'm going to give you three. He energized and revolutionized BYU's NIL interest from the boosters so that BYU is a player to get players. And that hasn't been the case. So all this stuff we're talking about that he's done, which has been fantastic, he's also reached to the power of the boosters. Mm-hmm. And BYU's got plenty of grads with plenty of good jobs and just looking for a reason to get involved. He's given them the reason. And now they can go out and make a play for whoever they want.
I originally came into this question thinking I was going to land on A.J. DeBonta in the number one pick because it kind of sets the table for everything. But as I thought about it more, all of the things that we talked about, all of the talent coming in, you know, getting the profile of the program higher, at the end of the day, it's all because of wins. He was able to get the wins. And at the end of the day, that's what matters most. You can bring in all the players that you want. You can have this scheme and that scheme. But if it doesn't work, you don't have all the other stuff. And so the fact that he was able to do all of the things that we talked about and then prove it on the court that he could win with it, to me, that's the biggest accomplishment.
Some of those games over there at the Marriott Center with the place packed, coaches dream of those moments. And those moments happened for him.
Yep.
And more than one. And then they went into other arenas that were packed, cheering for the other team, and he beat them.
Yep.
And they finished 13th in the polls, and they're going to start a little higher. And
yes, they are.
So, yeah. So that's the first year. We're excited about the second year. But we want everyone else's opinion.
Yeah, our question of the day is the one that we were just talking about. What's the most impressive thing that Kevin Young accomplished in year one as BYU's head coach? Our first response on X from Mr._Flintstone94. There were so many impressive things, like the winning streak at the end of the year, the Sweet 16, etc. However, I still can't believe that he landed A.J. DeBonta. I'd say that is the most impressive. The number one recruit in the country committed to BYU.
That is pretty cool.
It is so cool. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
ESPN's Jeff Brazello released an updated way too early college basketball top 25 poll just this morning. So here's his top 10. Houston at 1. Texas Tech is at 3. And he's got BYU moving up to 6 after getting the point guard in the portal and still with a few more pieces to add. BYU up to number 6 already for Barzello. What evokes a stronger reaction from you? That the Cougars are number 6 or that 3 Big 12 teams are in the top 6?
This one's pretty easy for me. It's that BYU's number 6. I love the fact that, you know, I love the Big 12, and I think it's awesome that they've got that many in there. But, I mean, look, it's BYU Sports Nation right now. The fact that he has BYU as number 6, look, it'll be a Travis Shemakery if BYU's not in the top 10. And we talked about, could they be top 5? And I'm like, I think they can. I just don't know if they'll get the votes for something like that. We're starting to see more and more of these come out. And again, a lot of time still, but they're getting closer to 5. One had them top 5. You have Barzello here at 6. It's not impossible, but this team is definitely going to be preseason top 10.
Absolutely. And then they'll open in Vegas against Villanova and a chance to back it up right out of the gate. That'll be a pressure-packed night just to come out and say, hey, we are this good. Yep. We are capable of this. I love it. The Big 12 is loaded. And while BYU's gone out and gotten a lot better, the other teams in the Big 12 have done the same. Arizona has added a bunch of stuff. Kansas has added a bunch of stuff. Houston retooled a little bit. Everyone's chasing Houston.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of riding this high of, hey, we've never actually seen this before. Well, Houston's seen it the last 3 years. And so that's who we're chasing. Those games now with Houston are going to be toss-ups instead of like they have been. But it won't necessarily be BYU this and Houston down here. BYU's trying to get to their level, and they're on their way, and it's going to make for a conference battle like the country hasn't seen before. The Big 12 this coming year could be as good as we've ever seen.
That's going to be awesome. All right, we've been talking a lot of college basketball for obvious reasons, but we're a little over a week away from the NFL draft. And recent mock drafts, you've got a couple. NFL.com's Chad Reuter has Tyler Batty going to the Vikings in the 5th round. In The Athletic's Dane Brugler has Caleb Etienne going to my Kansas City Chiefs in the 7th round.
That would put 2 Cougs on the Chiefs.
That would put, and possibly on the starting on the offensive line. I don't think Etienne would start. I think they have their left tackle right now, but maybe in the future. How many BYU players do you expect to be drafted at the end of the month?
It's hard to say. Probably these two. I agree with that. Batty had a great combine, and Etienne is huge. First team all Big 12. And we have a knack for putting left tackles in the NFL. This would be the 4th straight one to be drafted. I do think others like Jacob Robinson, Blake Mangelson, John Nelson, Isaiah Banya, those guys are probably headed toward camp invites with a chance to earn their keep there. But if the Cougs can get these two, most of the guys stayed. Remember, BYU's coming back loaded for this fall here in Provo. So if they could get two in the draft, I think that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm expecting one or two, and these two are the ones that make the most sense. I really hope somebody gives both of these guys an opportunity. Tyler Batty, we know how dominant he can be. And what Caleb Etienne was able to do this last season after coming in and having a subpar first year, and he knew that he didn't play up to his own standards. He came back and was excellent last season for BYU. I would love for him to get an opportunity, and I think there's a pretty good chance both these guys see their names called when the NFL draft gets underway at the end of the month.
We hope so. We wish them the best. Everybody involved in that draft for the Cougs, we wish them the best here coming up. Big 12 baseball resumes at Miller Park on Thursday. The Cougars host number 22 Arizona. First game of a three-game set. Coverage starts at 6:30 Eastern. A little earlier than normal, 6:30 Eastern time on BYU Radio with Jason and ESPN Plus with Gary and me. How about this time maybe you send some nachos into our booth?
I didn't get nachos.
I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying
you just want me to send nachos.
That'd be friendly gesture.
I'll see what I
can
do.
Not too far apart over there.
No, we're just about 10 feet away. Up next, BYU head coach Kalani Sitake gives an update from the cruise and why it's so important for his team to stay hungry and humble after 11 wins one season ago. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Repeat after me. They don't know.
They don't know.
But they're about to find out.
They don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know.
But they're about to find out.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on the Navigator of the Seas. I am Spencer Linton. This is Jerem Jordan. And man, we've been busy. So many legends on the boat. Jerem has called them the BYU Avengers. One of those great Avengers is the head football coach, Kalani Sitake.
Last night he told us, I think I've met everyone on the boat now. I think I've literally met
He's taking a picture with everyone.
3,500, which is pretty awesome. We sat down with Kalani and talked about what an experience this has been to connect with Cougar Nation, plus a recap of spring ball.
Kalani, this cruise has been years in the making. So to be here and to be celebrating and enjoying this, what's it like for you to engage this way?
That's a lot of fun. I mean, for me, it's just I haven't been on a lot of cruises. This is the only one I've been on, so... especially something this big and the size of the ship, but it was pretty impressive when we were rolling up to get on board, seeing the energy, the excitement of all the fans. It kind of felt like a game, and so for us to be able to spend time with all the fans, it's like I'm loving it. It's my kind of style. So I could either be here as a coach or be here as a fan and feel just at home and kind of. I don't know, it's my kind of vibe, so I'm good with it.
I'd like to point out that I've heard from multiple sources you were taking pictures or signing autographs for like three straight hours the day you got on the boat.
Yeah, I got most of the ship, basically. Well, here's my thing. Let's take a picture now because when the shirt comes off, no pictures. That's kind of the deal I made with all of them.
I thought it was cool, too, that you and Kevin Young were like, hey, let's have unbelievable years this year so that the cruise is even better. I thought that was well played by you.
Let's just have a cruise every 6 months and see what happens, you know what I mean? So, no, I love the idea. I like the entire ship being like-minded and that regardless of sport, it's good seeing the other student-athletes that are here and seeing them kind of just connect with everyone. I mean, there's so many cool stories and so many great opportunities just conversations that are happening. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. It's only been day two right now, so.
You had some incredible dance moves, and I'm
right.
Listen, this is not something that's just, you know, learned, Kalani. You have it in you. You have it in you, and your kids have
it's
in
your
them,
bag.
Okay,
and you pulled the move out.
How do you feel about the dance performance as you were introduced to the crowd?
Well, I mean, that's not my best, but. It's kind of shaky ground right now, guys. So I have an excuse. And I mean, Cosmo, I was talking to Cosmo because I speak his language, you know. But him doing the jump rope routine is really hard to do and the Cougarettes. Mm-hmm. So you have to be brave to be able to do something, at least anything. And so I was encouraged and motivated from Cosmo and the Cougarettes, Pokai doing a flip. The, you know, I think Sione Moore did the vacuum again to help push more cleanliness in the home. So I don't know. Maybe they think they can get dates by this. It's like, see, I do housework too. So I don't know what it is, but love the guys. And just it doesn't really matter. If you just show the effort, I think people appreciate it.
They told us earlier, several, you know, we had what, Ciale, Pokai, Sione. Mm-hmm. They all claimed that they did yoga or Zumba this morning, yet they were hitting the buffet with quote-unquote salad. What kind of regulations are you imposing or enforcing or not?
I told them not to watch me as an example. So
great leaders do that, right?
Yes, yes. Do what I say, not what I do. So, yeah, they have to count the calories. I don't. You know what I mean? I should, but I won't just because I'm trying to be happy. And so,
Ever the fullback.
Yeah, if I'm going to spend 7 nights here, I'm going to make sure that I'll diet another time. So, and I did say lose weight and come cruise with me, right? Then this is after the Alamo Bowl.
That was for everybody else.
Yeah, that I lost 2 pounds. So,
yes,
yeah.
Kalani. Let's go.
I don't know how much I gained already in 48 hours, but... Yeah, I did it. So I practice what I preach too. I said lose pounds, lose weight.
That was multiple.
Yeah, 1 pound doesn't count, but two.
Technically correct.
Letter of the law too.
So well done, Kalani. Off of spring football, it's fun. The timing of this, it almost feels like a celebration as you wrap
a reward,
a successful spring season. Where do you feel like your team improved the most and got themselves ready for the always tricky but important true off season before you get back in fall camp?
I thought we saw some really good competition. Just getting down to the business of it, everyone performed really well because they're competing for time. And so, but I also saw the connection. The new guys, I mean, it's like Keanu Tanavas has been part of us forever. And Carson Ryan's been catching balls from Jake Retzlaff. It just seems... like there hasn't been even a transition for those guys. And the new guys coming in, learning the system, a lot of that is because of the leadership of the team that's currently here. And when they joined, they've been open to teaching them and welcoming them to the family. And a lot of it is just showing that there was a connection from before, that they actually fit us. And not just on the field. I think in order for you to feel confident and feel like this is a great place for you to be, it has to mesh well for you. And I'm glad that they're here for all the right reasons and that it's going to show on the field. But overall, I thought the competition has been really, I mean, it's hard to explain that when people have been seeing it. I know that, but we became a better team because of the competition. And then that's why we decided to do a lot more live work, because you had to kind of ramp it up to see what they can do and when things get really down to the nitty gritty part.
You hinted at this last year, but you knew internally and privately, hey, we're going to be pretty good. People are underestimating us. Now what's the challenge with this group in terms of maintaining some greatness? And obviously you were close to the playoff, and the team feels like they're motivated to get into the playoff.
Yeah, I think the goal now is that we stay humble and stay hungry. And I think in order to avoid the up and down of it all is learn from what we already know, even in the scriptures, and that is don't let pride become part of what we're trying to get done. And, I think if you go to work, and the thing that can help all of it is just focusing on service and charity. And I think President Nelson said it perfect. You know, charity and virtue will be things that will help us. And I thought that was something that will go right to our staff and to our players. And I'm glad that I watched conference and was able to see that and see some of the temples that get announced too. So that was a lot of fun. But all that stuff works in football. The gospel works in football. And I'm excited to implement it and make sure that it can help us become a competitive advantage for us.
Obviously, BYU is a unique institution, and spirituality and faith are huge parts of the programs and the athletic department. But Jeremy and I have enjoyed watching BYU become a place for those that are not members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and come from all different walks of life, specifically your quarterback and some other high-level skill players. So what has that been like for you as the head coach to watch them come from their unique backgrounds and then all gel together as this unique group of teammates that has really succeeded?
Yeah, I think the goal is as we work together and we try to do our best, nothing's perfect, but your intention is to get there and to try to create a perfect system and a perfect locker room. And but the more you do that, the more it's deliberate. Everything has to be planned out. And the more you're calculating on what we need to do to get that much better. And I think that if you focus on that, wholesome things happen, you know. And regardless of your faith and your religion, if you're there working on following Christ's example and trying to help others, I mean, something special happens. And so and it's hard to be entitled and for the pride to take over when you're helping and thinking and serving others. And so we're going to try to do that more and more now than we've ever done before, because it works and it helps. And so there's so many different things that can come from it that it can be wholesome and good.
For the Utah game, you said to the team, they don't know, but they about to find out. I love using that out of context, just in anything in my life. It totally worked in that moment. It's great. Where did you get that, and has anyone used that out of context context effectively with you?
I don't know. I get they're going to do the cut, and they're going to record a lot of things, but I'm just trying to get to the kids and to the boys and what the stuff that we've been working through. I think the things that I say are the things that they're thinking. And, take all that. And I just, those are just reminders of what we've been working for all year long. And so this isn't anything that's original or special that I come up with. It's stuff that we've heard from players, from leaders on our team, from coaches, staff members. And so I can't sit there and say, like, oh, I'm the originator. It's just kind of, I felt like at the moment to remind them that we haven't even got to how good we can be, you know. And so and we're still even at the end of the year, if you look at it, I just felt like, man, if we had, you know, other opportunities like to get into the playoffs or things like that. But there's a lot of things that we need to learn from this, and we need to get there so that and be in a better position. And that's my job as head coach, make sure we're in a better position next year. And next year's coming up real quick. I like the things that we've been able to do as a staff, things we're able to get done as a program. I'm really looking forward to this offseason and the season coming up.
So Spencer says to me before he goes to the buffet about how much he's going
to
eat, they don't know.
But they about,
but
to, they find
about
out.
To find out.
Yep.
Guys, use it in the right context, please.
That's what I'm saying, out of context.
Don't do that and then put my name after it. That's like Spencer's, your own, version of it.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
My own translation.
But then I edit your piece from the locker room with Utah.
Yeah, hey, just have at it, guys. Whatever. I mean, yeah, just have fun with it. As long as you're smiling, it's all going to work out.
Come on, let's go.
True, though. I'm an English major, so.
Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not about the grammar or the, I mean, it's just, you know the intention.
The message.
Yes.
The message was received.
From here.
Yes. Kalani, great to talk with you. And certainly a great opportunity for us to be with you, cruising with the Cougs, and to be here. Thanks for the time.
Love you guys, man. Appreciate it. Go Thanks. Cougs.
It feels like those three went straight to the buffet after that conversation. We've got softball, a showdown this week. BYU-Utah clash at Gale Miller Field, the first of a three-game series. It starts tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern time on ESPN+.
Still to come, BYU baseball picked up a big win last night, and one former Batcat continues his impressive start to his season in the bigs. Headlines next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jason, he's Dave. We are not cruising with the Cougs.
We are cruising
right into today's headlines.
NFL draft now, just a little over a week away. Two BYU players are featured in recent mock drafts. NFL.com's Chad Reuter has defensive end Tyler Batty going to the Vikings in the fifth round in his mock. The Athletics' Dane Brugler has offensive tackle Caleb Etienne going to Shep's Chiefs in the seventh round. Other BYU football news today, defensive lineman Nathan Hoke announcing he's going in the transfer portal. Hoke, the son of former BYU and NFL lineman Chris Hoke. And punter Landon Rico, the younger brother of Ryan Rico, who's now with the Bengals, he too has entered the transfer portal.
Fun night last night at Miller Park. BYU baseball beat Utah Valley 9-3 to improve to 18-16 on the season. The Cougars scored their 9 runs on 13 hits, led by Ryder Robinson's 3 doubles. It was the first time since 2018 that a BYU player had 3 doubles in a game.
We called it a triple-double. Were we wrong?
I like that. Jake Porter pitched 3 scoreless innings to pick up his first win of the season. Up next, BYU welcomes number 22 Arizona to Provo to begin a 3-game series beginning on Thursday.
Great crowd last night. A nice vibe at the ballpark. Men's golf up to 6th overall after day 2 of the 78th Western Intercollegiate in Santa Cruz, California. Peter Kim leading the way, shot 4 under. He's in 8th place, heading into the final round. BYU tees off later this morning. The Golf Channel covering this one. It's been fun to watch the Cougs on TV.
Women's golf is in 9th place after day 1 at the Big 12 Championships in Houston. Najee Arumkul is leading the way for BYU after she shot 1 over par yesterday, good for 10th place through 18 holes. BYU teed off in round 2 earlier this morning, and we will get an update on that as soon as we can.
They need a good day today. Justin Sterner pitched 1 scoreless inning and struck out 2 in the A's 12-3 win over the White Sox. His younger brother Luke Sterner, by the way, also pitched a scoreless inning for BYU last night at Miller Park. It was a great Sterner night. Justin now 9 1/3 innings in 9 outings as a big league pitcher and hasn't given up a run. 4 hits, 5 walks, he struck out 14. That's how you keep your job in the big leagues.
Yes, indeed. All right, after the break, Austin Colley, Max Hall, and Dennis Pitta take over for Spencer and Jerem to give us an update from the Cruz, and they take a stroll down memory lane to their playing days as BYU Cougars. That is next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Dennis Pitta,
Austin Colley,
Max Hall.
A chance to get him, and Colley straight arms him and scores a touchdown.
Operates Pitta from his helmet, but not from the football.
Hall watches, he's got Colley waiting on it. Catches it across the 40-yard line.
Such
How
good
did he
memories.
Get so open?
Seriously. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B, alongside Dave McCann. My name is Jason Shepherd. All right, so we decided we're going to give Spencer and Jerem a break for the rest of the show because I think they would rather go to the buffet, apparently.
I think so.
And to be honest, we'd rather hear from 3 BYU football legends, that being Austin Colley, Max Hall, and Dennis Pitta. They are cruising with the Cougs, and they made time for us to discuss the highlights from the week so far, the future of BYU football, and some of their favorite memories from their BYU playing days. Guys?
This is Austin Colley with 2 of the best, if not the greatest, tight end and quarterback duo to ever have a presence on Les Edwards Field, Stadium, whatever you want to call it. We had to fill in for Spencer and Jerem. They're too busy living out their dreams upstairs, hooping with a bunch of 13-year-olds. Word on the street is 13-year-olds kind of took it to them. Might be up by a couple points right now. There has been a little scuffle between the two of them. Spencer wants to prove his worth on the cruise ship. Spencer, Dennis, Max, how are we feeling thus far about the cruise and your time here on the ship?
I got a mic right here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin.
Yes.
Thanks for that whole introduction.
Yeah.
Good luck to Spencer, right? But cruise so far, I actually think it's been pretty cool. And I was telling some guys earlier, like, I know it's cool for the fans to be walking around, but even for me to, like, see Jim McMahon and Giff and some of these old guys and get to hang out with them. That's the coolest part for me. So, and you guys, we're having fun, right?
Having a blast.
Cruising
having a
with
blast.
The Cougs.
How many times have you ate at the Windjammer thus far, Dennis?
Let's talk about that.
The Windjammer, I'm not familiar.
The Windjammer, the cafeteria.
Oh, the buffet.
The buffet.
Yeah. Listen, if we want to start talking about food consumption, don't look my way. I'm going to look your 2 way. I don't know how many pina coladas poolside we've already seen you guys order, but collectively it's an absurd amount. So I'm trying to stay within myself. I've had a couple ice cream cones as of late. I'm kind of loosening up a little bit, but it's almost beach season. We gotta
Dennis,
try to keep tight.
Dennis is looking lean. He runs a tight ship with the family. All of his kids come to me to ask for frozen yogurt and the pina coladas. So you're doing a great job as a father, right?
I run a tight ship.
You do.
Yeah, nutrition is of the utmost of importance in our household. For
Dennis,
sure.
Who have you been excited to talk to and see here on the boat? That may have been a past player.
Listen,
coach.
I'm chasing four little kids around this boat, all right? I don't have a whole lot of time for much of anything. But listen, I'm a big Jimmer fan. So, you know, Jimmer and I were there at the same time. And what era did you guys play in?
Yeah, that'd be 2000.
Similar?
Yeah, 2008, 2007.
Okay. I was kind of, you know, front row and center for the Jimmer era. Mm-hmm. So, big fan. And it's been fun to spend some time with Jimmer. So.
Love it, love it. Max, as we look back on your career, all the great moments that you've mm-hmm. had, what would you say is the greatest BYU moment that you've been a part of?
4th and 18, bro.
Thank you.
4th and 18. It's that's what it is. I will say this: that play, I felt like the stadium was louder than I ever heard before. Even the Utah one, like that place went nuts. And I remember I was so out of breath, like just that you caught it, and I'm just like, did we really go there? We're going. And then Dennis, you got nailed, right? A couple plays later.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, safety took your head off.
So my bad. No, it's all
was
good.
It my fault?
Yeah, we were watching that game. In our hotel room, not our hotel room, our room here, cruise like room. 2 nights ago. It was on TV. My son had it on TV. And we were watching. It was the end of the game. We saw 4th and 18. You're welcome. I was pulling safety coverage. Oh, everything geez. Was kind of coming over to me yeah. in the middle. Left you open down the sideline. The very next play, I'm running down the sideline. And I get complete. I don't even remember that play. That's funny you mentioned that. But I get completely.
Slot fade.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
No, it was just like every single play. Just run the through, Dennis. Get everybody out of there. Make way for Austin on the deep
yeah,
ball.
Pull coverage lets you get one-on-one coverage. I get it. I'm running a slot fade, and I get completely de-cleated by the safety. I didn't remember that play at all. And my son was watching, and he was making fun of me. But ended up getting
– I think we know why you don't remember that play.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, I don't remember that play. I remember 4th and 18 and everything else from that game. I remember Harvey's last run when he mowed over that dude to get in the end zone. But
yes.
for some reason, I do not remember that play. But fortunately, it was a helmet-to-helmet. We got a 15-yard penalty and put us in, I think, the red zone at that point. So
I remember that play.
Some consider that a bigger play than the 4th and 18. Sure, it was fourth down or first down.
That's debatable. Dennis, what looking back on your time at BYU, greatest moment, greatest play that you were a part of, one that just pops
greatest
out, jumps
play.
Off the page?
I mean, I would say the greatest play I've been a part of was the Andrew George overtime touchdown.
Look at you. Just
catch. Where were you on that? You were
I was not on that team.
I have two. The Andrew George one was really good. I was running a stick route on the other side.
Andrew had like what, a basic?
Ran a great route. Andrew was running like a little like whip back to the inside route. It was like a – it was a whip and
– it was a W. Yeah, I don't know why we called it a W route.
We did call it a W route.
Okay, so the spin at the top of the route was not improvised by him?
No. That was part of the play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Part of it.
I thought he was getting a little creative with his route running. I'd never seen that before.
We really stepped it up after you left, Dawson. The offense things, really took
you guys
off.
You guys went outside of four routes.
Yeah, we did.
That's very good.
We did.
Very good. Max, you know the quarterback position fairly well, I would say.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Given what you've seen from Jake last year, what do you anticipate coming into this year is probably going to be the biggest improvement in his game?
Yeah, I really like what I saw this year. And I think the year before, you know, finishing the season, four losses, just kind of that taste in our mouths. And I remember telling him in the offseason, like, this is big for you, man. Like, you got to take over the team. You got to be the leader of this team. And let's go compete. And he did exactly that this year. Well, we're 11-2, right?
Yep.
Dang good year. So we expect even more from him coming up in this next year, which is tough.
You anticipate a little more swagger, right? National attention. He's getting a lot of notoriety. I mean, towards the tail end of last year, there was a little Heisman talk, a little Heisman rumbling going on.
There was a little bit of that. He's not quite there. I think there's a few things in his game he can improve, some balls that he needs to complete that he's not completing, and continue to get smart in the game. So I think he showed a lot of what he can do this year, but I don't think he's at his full potential yet. We'll see if he gets there.
Okay, Dennis, Chase Roberts coming back for his last year. There's a question there whether he was going to go to the league or come back for his senior season, or his redshirt senior season, I should say. What do you think having Chase back is going to – how do you think it's going to help Jake, and what do you think how much more of a next step does Chase have in his game?
Listen, I think Chase had a tremendous year last year, and I think he was underutilized last year. I mean, as many targets as he had, I still think there was a lot left in the tank, and a lot more that they could have done with him. And so I'm optimistic and hopeful that they'll really get him involved a lot more this year. And listen, he was their leading receiver last year, but like I said, I think there was a number of times where they could have gone back to the well with him, because every time you seem to throw it his way, he makes a play. And to his credit, he's a great player. I know you and I have gotten to work with him a lot in the off seasons, and a tremendous player, but probably an even better guy, to be honest. And you know, I think when he gets ready to take that leap to the NFL, I think there's a lot of teams that are going to be lucky to have him in a locker room, because he's mature, he's a great teammate, he's a great dude, and a hard worker, and something that, you know, I think his game can translate if he continues to trend the way he's been trending. Selfishly, I want to see the tight end position get back to prominence in this offense, because it's been non-existent for the last handful of years. And there's a lot of fans saying, what happened to the tight end position?
Careful what you
say. I don't know about non-existent.
Well, not non-existent.
It hasn't been a staple.
It has not been a staple like we've seen in a lot of successful BYU offenses in the past. And so there's a few guys coming in this upcoming year. I think there was a big signing recently of a high recruit. I think that they have a couple guys in-house right now that can do some damage in the middle of the field. I would love to see the tight end get a little bit more involved. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, so there's a common feeling, common belief amongst BYU fans. There's a certain aura, as the kids say, about the BYU program, specifically in basketball and football. Tell me, what difference has it made BYU joining the Big 12?
Wow. God, these are hard-hitting questions. Yeah, this is really good. It's almost as if you've done this before.
Yeah.
So I think the Big 12 has been a huge success. How long have we been in the Big 12? 1 year, 2 years?
2 years.
Two years. So for just being in 2 years to already be competing for, you know, at the top, you know, echelon of the Big 12, I think has been really impressive to see. They have over exceeded my wildest expectations as far as football and basketball goes. I think that, you know, most of the fan base would agree with that. Football, certainly. I mean, who thought that they would have the season that they had, given the prior season? I mean, you can only be judged on what you've done in the past. And for them to come out and have the season that they had, I mean, I think, you know, we were all shocked by that. But I think now it'll be interesting with the seasons that they've had, the success that they've had in the Big 12. I think that bar and that standard is way up now for fans, and that expectation is going to be way up, certainly in basketball.
You get
the number one player.
Yeah.
A lot different than last year. You have a returning senior quarterback now. That's always, you know, done well for BYU, and expectations are going to be really high. Yeah. I mean, basketball is going to be no different when AJ DeBonsa comes into town, and you got, you know, hopefully Richie Saunders comes back and they get some of those pieces around him. Expectations are high, and so it's going to be interesting moving forward in the Big 12.
What a great answer. Just phenomenal. It's like you've thought about that for quite some time.
No, I didn't. That was
off
the top of my head.
Did you black out for a second?
What happened? I blacked out.
Well, we've been having a great time here at the Cruise. There hasn't been a better experience getting to kind of relive some of the BYU moments that you fans have seen and been a part of over the years, and continue to have much more in the near future for BYU and its fans. So
and
we're signing out.
Sorry to Jerem Jordan, we ran out of time for you, unfortunately.
Perfect.
Nice job, guys. I'd say they need to get their own show, but they took over this one.
That's exactly what they
Good
did.
Good stuff.
We get a podcast.
You find all our stuff from Cruising with the Cougs on demand on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel.
What do you believe is the most impressive thing that Kevin Young accomplished in his first year as the head coach of BYU men's basketball? We'll get to more of your responses to the question of the day right after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
All right, let's jump right back into it. Our question of the day: what's the most impressive thing that Kevin Young accomplished in year one as BYU's head coach? Our lead voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from Lauren_J_Smith on X. He lived up to his billing. It wasn't rhetoric. He built a strong staff, recruited top players, developed who he coached, and he won. Today's Rise and Shout-Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Who are we going with today?
Happy anniversary to Kevin Young. 1 year and just getting started.
All right, our thanks to today's guests, Kalani Sitake, Austin Colley, Max Hall, and Dennis Pitta.
Conversation continues on all our platforms and on BYUSN.com.
All right, for Dave, I'm Jason. Back at it tomorrow, noon Eastern, with more BYUSN. Go Cougs!